You dickheads.
Welcome to Double Dodge, the 8th best Guild Ball podcast, slightly better than Jason's Blackheart Talk Talk Talk. Please stand by.
Welcome to episode 42 of Double Dodge. We're calling this one Papa Pundit Does Car Park Chess. So this one we thought we'd have a chat to the community, in particular one Hayden Sheehan. He is a man who's been able to erect many things, one of which has been a meta within a tiny little town called Orange, where they're better known for their car fires. So we chat to Hados and one Ben Yeomans. Ben is one of the original organisers to an event called Battle in the Bush, and they wanted to talk about that. But on the whole, we also wanted to look at the idea of how to build a meta and what the fundamental kind of cause to something like that is. Ben comes from a different background, a 40K background. We try not to hold that against him too badly. But it's an interesting conversation. We go through a few different things, obviously a fair amount of sledging, but also just basically look at, you know, how to run and create a brand new event and where it, you know, can spawn from and what you can do to kind of grow it and get more people coming to. So I'm not sure I need to say much more than I feel sorry for Ella. Ella, you have to put up with Hayden. I do apologise for this. I don't know why you bought a house with him. All right. Cheers.
Double Dodge. Once a year, they have Kiwis on that know what they're doing, which is nice.
So on the line, we've got a new friend of mine, one Ben Yeomans. How are you going, sir?
Yeah, good day, mate. How are you going?
Very good, very good. And by new friend, I mean we met about 2 minutes ago.
No, look, we've been lifelong mates.
Yeah, yeah. And that's you know, the way it works in Australia.
That's it.
Absolutely. And another person, I can call him a friend occasionally. Sometimes he, you know, he's kind of just that nice guy that everyone wants to give a hug. But Hados Sheehan, welcome back, sir.
Hello. How are you going today?
I'm good. I'm good. It's like 8:14 in the evening and kids are in bed, so I'm pretty good.
Beautiful.
Mm. So we thought we'd have a bit of a chat. Hados has basically been twisting my arm and I told him to get fucked, but eventually he he blackmailed me into this. Do we want
it's
to
like
have
a bad smell.
Do I go anywhere? No. we wanted to do an episode about community building and highlighted by a tournament that you guys, or that's coming up soon, and I'm hoping you guys know the dates, Battle in the Bush.
Yeah, so the way Battle in the Bush come about is it's been a 40K event that's been running here in Orange for the last few years. I think we're up to number 5, is that right, Ben?
Yeah, we stopped numbering them after a while. I couldn't count any higher. So I guess it's
okay. Here
I guess it's 5 or 6. No, it's literally I struggle to count to 10. We started them about 6 years ago, I think, 5 years ago. So it's been running one a year. So yeah, 5 or 6.
Fantastic, fantastic. And was it the fact that you didn't know what came next in Roman numerals, or?
Oh, look. Once we got to 3 in Roman numerals, we were stuffed.
Yeah.
So we stopped numbering, just call them Battle in the Bush. It started very small, started as a little 16-player local 40K tournament.
Yeah.
And then before we knew it, we're pulling people from Brisbane and Melbourne and Canberra and Sydney, and the past 2 years have really shot off. Last year was 60 players. The year before that, I think, was about 62 again. So it's become a major event in the 40K scene. So there's a couple of different classes of event in the 40K ITC. So they call it ITC, the Independent Tournament Circuit. And it's, you know, once you get to a certain size and amount of players, you become a major event, which is worth the big bucks, the big points. So we're a major event now, which is awesome. Gets our name on the calendar. And, yeah, it's just crazy considering where we started that it's grown so much. It's something about Orange and wargaming. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I guess, you know, as part of this episode, we're talking about community building. How did you guys start? Like, what instigated that first one?
Yes.
Wait, you were drunk. I can feel it.
100%. All the best stories start with beers. It actually literally did. We had a couple of blokes that I knew. Orange has always had a fairly strong wargaming community, historically. I don't know what it is. There must be nothing else to do. It's shit cold for half the year. Video games get boring after a while, so I guess tabletop's where you go. But it's always been in pockets, you know, a couple of mates in a shed here and a couple of blokes know each other there. And that's what we were. We were just a couple of blokes get together at my place. We used to do it on Friday night, hence why our club's called Friday Night Gaming. There was only about three or four of us at the time. And then before I knew it, I had about 12, 15 people in my gaming room, which is not big enough for 12 or 15 people. Well, hang on, this is a club now, so let's start a club. And the first thing we did before we had a club was run a Battle in the Bush event. We thought, bugger it, we'll get all these 15, 16 people together, run a tournament, see how it goes. It was very casual. I think we had My Little Pony trophies for toys, for trophies, dumb shit like that. So,
no, and then, there's yeah, absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Sorry?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, having that as trophies. Yeah, we had Bretonian archers, I think, at some point for ours. So.
Yeah, we had, that's right, we had the Super Best Friend trophy. It was like the nicest player. They were the Super Best Friend. They got a My Little Pony. But anyway, so it's always been about based around that, you know, having beers, throwing dice. We started meeting monthly after that event. So we started up the club, pretty small at first, and it was at a pub. We used to just drag our gaming tables down to the pub and set up, which used to get a few weird looks from a couple of the publicans, but they liked the amount of beer we bought. So, and then from there, it's sort of just grown over the past 5-6 years to the point we actually made ourselves an official incorporation, I guess we're called. I'm not sure what it's called, actually. Friday Night Gaming, Inc.
Yeah.
Have a formal committee as a not-for-profit organisation. And, from that we're able to sort of do some fundraising, get better tables, get better terrain, and keep drinking beers and rolling dice just on a bigger scale.
Fantastic.
And that has grown to include a lot of games. Started with 40K, but it's now including everything, even this Guild Ball that Hayden keeps banging on about.
This Guild Ball that, yeah, Hayden does bang on a little bit. I really like how that started and the premise about where it came from, the fact that it's all about the fun and enjoyment of the game. I mean, do you think that's basically a cornerstone of, you know, any kind of gaming club?
I think it's weird because different people like different things. Some people come and they're just diehard competitive gamers. You know, it doesn't matter what they're playing. It could be fucking chess in the car park. They have to win at all costs. And, you know, if you go to a club and it's just all fluffy narrative, la-di-da games, you're not going to appeal to those sort of people. So I think in the end, as long as everyone's getting a little bit of what they want and you're getting tailoring to a little bit of everyone's shit and everyone's willing to sort of give a little to the community, maybe, you know, give a little back, maybe go and play in a narrative event if you're a competitive player, or maybe go to a tournament if you're just a narrative fluffy player, drink beers, and it sort of forms that real community around that. So, yeah, it's not necessarily about just drinking piss and throwing dice and just doing whatever. There has to be a bit of structure, but as long as everyone's willing to sort of give their own to it,
yeah,
I think it's good.
Absolutely, and I think the cross-pollination, you know, not being exclusive to one kind of gaming system is pretty important, and making sure that you're kind of open to whatever, which brings us to young Hados, who rocked up at some point with some, what do you call it, Guild Ball? Something like that.
Yeah,
what's this game?
Yeah, something. It was actually strange how I got into sort of Guild Ball and Friday Night Gaming in general. It sort of all happened very quickly. I'm not like a lot of other gamers where they've sort of, you know, been playing Games Workshop since they were 12. And I didn't get into tabletop gaming at all until just a couple of years ago. And it was the Dark Souls Kickstarter, the board game, that sort of was my gateway.
Yeah.
I've always been a big fan of those video games. I saw that was on Kickstarter, looked cool. I decided to back it and went all in because I was irresponsible with money, and that's what you do.
And still are.
Exactly. And the next step was they were part of their sort of brief on the Kickstarter was that they'd had success with the Kickstarter before with this little game called Guild Ball. And I saw that everything was for free online, and I spoke to my then fiance at the time, Ella, thought, what's the harm in jumping into it, having a go? And a couple of years later, I am neck deep in Guild Ball.
Yeah, no, and I love this. Yeah. So you've been a gamer from way back, though? Like, was it a computer gamer or a...
Yes, computer gamer from way back. So brought up on, you know, the Nintendo 64 and then Pokemon on the Game Boy, like... You know, GoldenEye with my brothers, you know, just sitting around the television.
Get out. Hey, Doss, we need to have a drunken... Oh, wait, you don't drink. I need to get drunk and play GoldenEye with you because we used to do this as, like, you know, teenagers with my mates. And I'd be so blind drunk, but they didn't know the game well enough that I'd be spawning right and know exactly where they were before they even knew where they were. Bang, you're dead.
Don't lie. You just took odd job. No odd job.
No. Odd job was banned. Absolutely banned.
Yeah, odd job banned.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was so much fun. Sorry, Hados. Completely ruined your like, train of thought there.
No, it's a fantastic fun. Yeah. But yeah, gamer from way back, but tabletop gamer only the last couple of years. And it was that same year that we sort of looked into Guild Ball that I was having a chat with a mate from work that's part of the community, Ben Medbury. Bloke I work with, he's into tabletop gaming, and he said there's this group that meets once a month. You know, if you're coming to watch, it's free. If you want to play a game, it's, you know, $5 a head. Why don't you come along the next meet and check it out? You know, you might like what you see. So it's exactly what I did, and it was the Christmas meet, so there was quite a lot of people there, and it was, the best way to describe it was, as Ben was saying, it's this sort of melting pot of all sorts of different personalities. You know, everyone's there for a different reason, but they're all getting together, rolling dice, having fun. And that's something that immediately appealed to me, is that there was no segregation or anything. It was just everyone getting in, having a laugh. It was good to see. And, yeah, it was shortly after that that I decided to become a pundit for Guild Ball. And, you know, I spoke to Yeomans about, you know, setting up some demo games and... they were more than happy for me too, and have really been helpful ever since, and, you know, being very supportive of me pushing the game in the community. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, and a massive shout out to yourself, because your community, I don't know what the population of Orange is, but it must be around 200. And the amount of people you get coming to the gaming club is well over little old Adelaide. Like, we can't get that many there. So it's testament to, obviously, the fact that, you know, you've made a consistent night, you made sure that people are there, that you're there to actually teach people, and you've really built a good community there, mate. So I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I'll second that. Hayden came in, had no idea what Guild Ball was, had no idea who he was, never met him before in my life, and then he just sort of kept rocking up. It was just him and Ella playing for a while, and like everyone was crazy on other games, and there's a fair bit of game saturation. It was just him and Ella playing, and he'd just mention it to you every time. Oh, you should check it out. And he'd bring, you know, other teams for people to play with. Oh, sorry, what do you call them? Guilds for other people to play with. And he'd introduce you to people to the game and just really stuck with it. And, you know, worked with us closely to get some terrain. We got some funds together for him to get some better terrain. And he just really just kept pushing it. I think that's the key for people wanting to get a community going. You just got to get that one person with a bit of fire in their belly and just keep pushing it. And
yeah.
Before you knew it, we had people peeling off the 40K thing. I was like, hey, man, you're killing our community. Like, chill out.
Fair. Now we done awesome. We did a similar thing to the War Machine and Hordes community up at our club. I mean, not that we were, you know, actively trying to, you know, do anything to that, but as that took a downturn, we were just playing Guild Ball, and it was me and Dave playing, and then, you know, a couple of guys ask, what's that about? And they, you know, have a look, and they like some models, and we're all gamers. And I think that, you know, the big takeaway from that is people will jump around, And, you know, if they do, that's fine, because they'll swing back around and play a different game. And, you know, you shouldn't feel kind of some level of ownership to one kind of play, you know, to stick to your game. People will, you know, move to whatever they feel comfortable. And at the end of the day, we're all basically gamers. So I love it. So Hados, then you thought we need to run some events, and Battle in the Bush was coming up. Did you approach Ben? Did Ben approach you to, you know, this union? How did it happen? Was it candlelit dinner?
A little bit, yeah.
He leaned in first, and I didn't notice him slip a little pill into my drink. Yeah, I thought he was just leaning in for a kiss on the cheek, and before I knew it,
yeah,
pants were down, guilt was in.
Roofed you. Fantastic.
No, so this will be the third Guild Ball event in Orange. So the very first one I did, I sort of just did on my own. I didn't want it to be a too big of an event. It was the first time I was a TO for anything, so I just wanted to sort of keep it small. I ended up getting 16 players. So that was it was awesome support from Sydney and Canberra coming up and showing the locals how a Guild Ball tournament goes. Not long after that, we've got a group pundit chat. So it's all the pundits in Australia sort of trying to network for events, because that's the funny thing about Australia, especially for a game system as small as Guild Ball, is we're quite spread out. So if we can coordinate events, especially on at least a state level between, you know, Sydney, Canberra and the regional centres, it makes it a lot easier to try get those numbers up for players. So before I knew it, I had guys asking when the next Orange event was going to be, because they had fun and wanted to add it to their calendar. So I ran another one earlier this year, and again, it was another 16 players. And before we knew it, we were chatting more and more about this calendar for Australia of what big events we're doing. So naturally, there's the big ones like Nationals or CanCon. And it was the spot that sort of got reserved for Orange was around the same time as Battle in the Bush. So it was actually part of the pundit chat that got thrown around that maybe Guild Ball could get added onto Battle in the Bush, seeing as it's got such a big player base for 40K. So I spoke to Yeomans and the president of FNG, Chris Yates, about what they think about me running a Guild Ball event at this year's Battle in the Bush, and they were all for it. And, you know, they've obviously seen the success I've had with Guild Ball locally, that they were happy to pretty much hand the reins over to me and let me run it sort of as my own event, but part of Battle in the Bush, which is really cool.
Ah, nice. So where's the event held? Like, you've got there's a big hole.
So it's a...
You just put all the burnt-out cars next to each other and just like, play out of them?
We don't have holes in Orange. It's in the paddock. So because this is a big event, we're going to put tarps up.
Fantastic. You got a sponsor for those?
Sponsored tarps. That's when you know your business needs a little bit of a leg up, sponsoring tarps for a paddock. We got a really good relationship with Orange City Bowling Club. It's a great venue, crazy cheap. They don't. If any of Orange City Bowling Club people are listening to this, please don't, you know, just turn off. But they haven't charged us each year for the hire of the venue because we keep drinking them out of beer. I think it's the most beer they sell throughout the whole year, so they kind of look forward to Battle in the Bush
coming. Out. Nice,
We literally drank them out of beer last year. They had nothing left. So, oh, well, move on. But it's a great venue. It's a really big venue. There's multiple rooms. It's going to be a really good setup. Bowling club, so there's food. You know, they've got a buffet food there and a bar. And, they're really accommodating for us.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. That's obviously a drug front. So apart from Guild Ball the Warhammer, what other kind of events, like, have you assimilated other, gaming systems?
So it's been on the cards for a long time. At the club, yes, very much so. Bolt Action, Historics, Scale Historics has been there before. 40K is obviously the main pool, but Guild Ball is right up there with it. Some nights we've got more people playing Guild Ball than 40K. Age of Sigmar, which is Games Workshop's other, that's like Warhammer Fantasy's retarded little cousin. that's really big in the scene. And then, you know, board gamers, stuff like that. So all sorts of shit. In terms of events, really, we've got AOS is starting to gain some traction now. So Age of Sigmar was starting to get, it's sort of in the same space Hayden was a couple of years ago, a year or so ago, in that we got someone with a bit of fire in their belly. Jaren, if you're listening, we love you.
Nice shit. Fuck that boy.
Fuck Jaren. He's also a Guild Ball player, so you probably know him.
Yeah, I do.
But Jaren's a big AOS fan, and he's really got a fire in his belly for AOS, and he's pushing that. So hopefully Battle in the Bush will continue to grow. We'll have to find a bigger venue and start incorporating some of that as well, so that we are like almost really a convention at that point, which is unreal for Orange. So, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, it is ridiculous, I think. I mean, when you look at some of the other, you know, Australia is quite far spread, and obviously there are certain conventions that we kind of hold. I mean, CanCon being one of the bigger ones, but it would be awesome to see you guys, you know, build that to the point where, you know, it becomes that, you know, that place, the mecca that everyone wants to kind of go to. So,
well, I think it's really good now because we're fairly close to Sydney and fairly close to Canberra. It's only a few hours' drive from both. And we've got flights now from Brisbane and Melbourne to Orange. So even the guys that are a bit further away on the East Coast, it's not too hard to get to Orange. It's not like it's out in the sticks in the boondocks. We do have sealed roads and electricity and running water. So it's sort of a fairly central location. There's a lot of big regional cities around us, Dubbo, Bathurst, Wagga, all of them are worth in a close vicinity as well. So we're hoping we can continue on. It's a lot of logistics and a lot of effort and a lot of people. We need passionate people like Hayden, like Jaren, like Yates, that Haydos mentioned earlier, and like myself when I could be asked. We need people like that to keep this sort of thing going. So if you're listening and you're in Sydney and Canberra and, or even Melbourne, Brisbane, get down here. It's pretty good. Lots of good wineries, lots of good wine.
Yeah, I am envious of the proximity you guys are to, you know, and Haydos will talk about it, but in terms of the Canberra, the Sydney, that triangle you've kind of got going where you're able to go to each other's events, because being in Adelaide, unless I run an event or, you know, Dave or one of our locals, basically nothing happens or we've got to fly to Canberra or Sydney or Melbourne to go, you know, participate or Orange to visit.
Orange.
Can you organise a direct flight? Because I'm quite happy to, like, come. Like, I've got no problem with that.
You have to stop in Sydney from Adelaide, I believe.
Sydney Airport is so shit. Like, this is why I'm such a fan of Canberra. I love Canberra. CanCon is one of my favourite events, purely because it's so easy to get in. You know, the taxi ride from the airport is like in Adelaide. It's so close to, you know, you're in the city anyway. Yeah. And you get to where you're going. Sydney is, you know, I love those guys in Sydney, but it's so shit.
I think Sydney's scene struggles a bit because of that, actually. Yeah. Getting around Sydney is really shit. Melbourne's not as bad, but Canberra, I think that's why CanCon and even WinterCon have been so successful over the years, because it's sick. Like, Canberra's good. Heaps of good places to eat and go out to, and it's just easy to get around. So
yeah, you don't have to deal with all the...
Orange is the same. Once you get here, it's super easy to do everything.
You've got secure parking for your car then?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Just don't park it outside of line of eyesight and you'll be fine.
I hear Haydos has got a new place. How many car parks you got there, Haydos?
None for you. Okay, that's the answer you're looking for, yeah.
All right, I don't think I'd drive my car up there. I don't think I'd make it anyway. That's fine.
Yeah. That's fair. Mm.
So you touched on an interesting point earlier, Hayden, where you actually didn't come. You came from computer gaming and that sort of thing before you got to tabletop. One of the interesting parts of Guild Ball, and I've noticed this with one Mr. Jared McGraw, a mate of ours in the US, he also didn't come from a tabletop gaming background. And I was going to ask you, what do you think it is about Guild Ball that kind of bridges that divide? Because there's a few people, and it's not just you guys, that have come across from other, you know, they've been competitive, problem-solving kind of gaming people, but haven't been tabletop people.
I can only sort of speak for myself, but I'm hoping it resonates with those other people. But I see the character-based design of it as fairly similar to, you know, a lot of those MOBA games. I haven't really played many myself. The closest I've probably played is Overwatch. Yeah. But that sort of, you know, pick a character that is really fleshed out. They've got their own sort of identity and see how they go in the game. Whereas, you know, other tabletop games are sort of units of stuff. They don't really have an identity. They're still cool in their own way, but I think that's the sort of bridging thing between video games and Guild Ball. So personally, I saw a lot of similarities with Overwatch. I've had a couple of friends mention that Guild Ball has a lot of similarities with League of Legends. I haven't played it myself, but there seems to be a lot of common themes across like MOBAs and Guild Ball of that pick a character. They're really sort of their own unique identity and have some fun with them.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. I mean, I came from a 40K background from many, many moons ago and then kind of transitioned over from a painting side to then, you know, like the models, went to War Machine and Hordes, played that for a bit. And what it presented to me was a deeper level of kind of problem solving from a puzzle perspective. You know, basically, if you ever played War Machine, you had a lot of the armies which didn't have the, you know, level of identity, but then you had certain kind of models, war jacks or war beasts, that had that higher level of identity and more complexity in terms of their gameplay. And then Guild Ball just seemed this transition to basically just playing your battle group, those high-end models, without having to deal with, I won't call it a chaff, but I just did. But the stuff that's just basically you run at each other and kill each other, and it just seems, you know, almost, you know, pointless. So, no.
Yeah, I mean, you raise an interesting point there. So the other part of the gaming community I've gotten into is Age of Sigmar. So I obviously started with Guild Ball. I hounded people enough about trying my game, so I thought it was time to give it back. And the fantasy side of things was slightly more appealing to me than the 40K side, so I thought I'd jump into AOS. And for anyone that's sort of played AOS, a lot of it is about, as you say, those heroes, those individual characters that are, you know, the big guys in your army. And exactly as you say, Guild Ball pretty much feels like that. If you take away all your battle lines and your base units and just run your heroes at each other, that's exactly what Guild Ball feels like.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's an interesting system, and I know we've probably talked about this in the past, but comparing to other gaming systems, a lot of them have to introduce scenarios, that sort of thing. Guild Ball basically has one static scenario, but because it's got the ball, which is the kind of dynamic element, they can sit with that one like scenario and still have a very interesting kind of game where it's constantly problem solving. And I find that fascinating. I remember with War Machine and Hordes as an example, where they had all these different scenarios, and each round at a tournament you'd have to like lay out the scenario. And where with Guild Ball, it was, you know, you can have your plan, but you actually have to just be dynamic in your gameplay. And I think that's what, you know, appealed to me.
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose that brings us back to the video game similarities is, yeah, they've got different scenarios per map, but like for like a first-person shooter like Overwatch, it's fairly similar scenarios each time. And the dynamic thing is the different characters that you'll face rather than, you know, you're all, you know, Call of Duty soldiers going at each other. Yeah. There's a variety of characters and that's where the uniqueness comes from, like...
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it becomes a reactionary, like the game will react to where you are positionally and that'll present different problems if you move over here or move over there. So,
yeah.
Nice. So, prizes? I haven't heard like what the prizes are for this Battle in the Bush. Do you get a tree?
You get a can of gasoline and a car to go burn out.
You got to snuff the gasoline first, though. And by the way, a bush is now happening. We're going to make that happen, I think.
Yeah, I love this. I love everything about this.
Pot plant. We did give a cactus away for one of our leagues for 40K.
Was that for the most prickly dickhead?
Yeah, no, it was the first prize. It was the slow grow league we had at the club. Because it's slow grow cactus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, you got a cactus.
Yeah, I'd still take that as a bit of a backhanded slap in the face, though. I think that's a subtle way of saying you're a dickhead to play against, but here you go.
Read into it what you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fair. I mean, I didn't receive it, so I think I'm still good.
I think old mate that did receive it puts it on his table with pride for that very reason.
I do like that. And this is the one thing I really enjoy about events, in any event, is the bits and pieces you get, the idiosyncrasies, the different trophies or tokens or whatever that you actually get from them. That's what I really love as a gamer, that you can actually, it adds to your memory of the different events. So, like, my token box is way too big now for Guild Ball. But I've got all the shit that we got for WTC, from, CanCon, that kind of thing. And I really enjoy that. Like, everyone's got their little different trophy or different whatever. It becomes almost like a map of the gaming that you've actually participated in.
100%. I collect dice. I got one dice from each event that I go to. But we had the ITC for 40K this year. For the best in faction, because I don't know, for your Guild Ball people, there's like 20 something factions, and they rank you. You get to compete against other people in the same faction. And this year, the prize for best in faction was a certificate, which was great, but a ruler, little measuring ruler, a 6-inch ruler with 3 inches and stuff, and it just had best in faction 2019 Death Guard or whatever. And the amount of praise that got, just because exactly like you said, it's that token that they can use in the game and remember, was huge. That was a bit better than any sort of cash prize or anything like that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So you didn't get a dice then?
I didn't get shit. I got a hangover. So that was fun.
I mean, that's kind of a win.
Yeah, I had fun.
Fair. So you guys got any other events that you're organising, or is it like a Battle in the Bushes, like the all-consuming plus Friday nights?
That's pretty much it for Orange Guild Ball. We do our little local events, so every now and again at the monthly meet, I'll do the little launch event packs, which is really a fantastic format to have for something like a little monthly meet or your weekly meet, just to have a bit of fun with your friends, rather than make it a big competitive thing. Just celebrate the launch of a new guild. I think they're a fantastic idea from Steamforge.
Especially celebrating miners.
Yes, everyone just loves the miners, so a good one to celebrate.
Sorry, continue.
But nothing planned as yet. That's pretty much it for Orange Guild Ball. But Guild Ball in general, we've got some big events coming up. So we've got the first Australian team championship.
Yes.
That's the end of May, so that's coming up very soon. It's run by none other than Matthew Graham from Canberra. I think we've got 11 teams, which is fantastic for a first-year event, and two of those teams are coming from Orange. So I was pretty excited that we got enough boys together to send two teams down for Friday Night Gaming.
Yeah,
FNG represent. Yeah.
You better kick some ass down there. I want to see.
I'll be rooting for you watching the Twitch stream and not understanding what's happening.
Oh, you think we have a Twitch stream, mate? Come on.
Ramp that shit up.
We will. But so that's the next big one, and then there's the Nationals event, which it'd be good to see a fair few people at. That's I believe it's 11th of August, so quite close to everything, but it's it's just good that we're getting this many big events in each year.
Yeah. No.
So that's in the same place as ATC, so Padstow RSL.
Oh, fuck, I thought you were going to say Campbelltown then. I was just like, no, I'm going to cancel my fucking ticket.
So it's right on the train line. So it's a little bit closer to the city than Campbelltown, but it's right on the airport rail line. So should be a lot easier to get to, especially for those interstaters.
Yeah, big shout out to Aaron for that. Good job, buddy. Making sure that you're constantly growing the community up there. But yeah, let's go inner city, Sydney. I want that. What's the circular, like there's definitely a restaurant where you can basically like eat and it just slowly rotates and you can look at all of Sydney. I want to get to a level where we can like have a tournament there.
Oh, I'm nowhere near rich enough for that.
No, exactly. So I might have a chance.
Center Point Tower tournament. Yeah. I love it.
I've got no problem with this at all. The buy-in's $1,000, right? So it's like a really bad poker hand.
$1,000 with no price supports.
$1,000 and they still like do the shakedown when you get that. Yeah, no, we need more cash. We haven't got enough. And your beers are $50 a pop. Actually, that's probably not too far off the truth. I lived in Sydney back in 2001 to 2003, around that time. And fuck me, I reckon back then I was paying $10 a beer. So I don't know what it is now, but it's going to be more.
I couldn't tell you. All I could tell you is if we tried to run a Guild Ball event at Center Point Tower and we got a few players, we'd get to the end of round three and Gladys will come closes because it's lockout time.
Yeah. Ooh, fair. It's a bit rough. At that point, do you go burn out a car or?
Maybe. See how we feel.
Mm. That's just an orange thing, right? So you guys were talking about streaming. Does Battle in the Bush have any, like a Twitch stream? Have you hired in like some full-blown like tech, someone who knows what they're doing and we've got a stream going on?
No, I've got no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to give it a crack. no, we've been slowly building up. Very small presence at the moment. The poor suckers that are on the FNG page on Facebook have been tolerating my, they're basically tech demos, trying to work out, you know, streaming ins and outs. And we're getting pretty close to being able to do live streaming of games at a decent quality. Twitch is the platform for it just because it can support higher resolution streaming than Facebook.
Yeah.
So it's just the equipment is the hard thing to get. So we're slowly getting some equipment. I'm not using any of our club funds for that. That's put purely on my wallet, so which is empty. So it's taking a while to get there, but we're hoping by the time we get to Battle in the Bush, we may have at least streams for 40K top tables.
Yep.
I will, this is, again, we only chatted to Yates, who's organising the event, the TO for the 40K side today about this, but I will be pulling Hados aside for a conversation soon, and hopefully we might be able to get some Guild Ball streams going as well on Twitch. So we'll see how we go, but yeah, it's definitely something that's on our cards. I think tabletop streaming is coming up in the world, slowly, but coming up in the world. There was streaming for 40K event at CanCon, and I actually ended up on the stream, which was kind of nerve-wracking. And there was quite a few people watching. I had a few hundred, I think, at one point watching across the world. So it's pretty cool to have that sort of community, that wider community.
Yeah.
And particularly on the top tables where you get the people that are, you know, they really know what they're doing. You get to go back, watch their gameplay, watch what their tricks. And, you know, if you understand the game, watch an exciting game. Like, yeah. They can be really good.
Understand where you're fucked up. Yeah, generally what I watch them for.
100%, yeah.
So is there anything you need? Is there? Do you want to do a quick shout? Like, are there any tools that you need for the streaming? We can put it out there, and if anyone is in the Orange or Sydney, Canberra, Meta, can you help out?
Yeah, look, the thing for us at the moment, in terms of software and skills to do it, I think we've got that down pat. The thing at the moment is equipment. So audio is the hardest part. Hearing what the players are saying to each other, and particularly in a tournament environment where you've got a lot of background noise, that's the hardest part about streaming. But really, you know, just a 1080 webcam would probably do for Guild Ball because it's such a small field. You'd be able to pick up quite a bit of detail on that. and then maybe someone that's willing to sort of sit on, you know, OBS, the software that we use, someone that has a bit of knowledge and maybe commentate the game would be helpful. It's an option instead of having the players talk, is having, you know, a commentator going through it, and that's what they did at CanCon for the DUP guys, so the Down Under pairing guys who are doing similar sort of stuff, and that worked really well. So if there is anyone that's interested in thinking about going to Orange and may not necessarily be playing, definitely get in contact with Hayden or myself, or jump on FNG on Facebook, Friday Night Gaming on Facebook, and let us know, because we're all ears.
Yeah, absolutely. Send your resume, and do you have a swimsuit section? Or
Please no.
No, okay. Send those one to Hayden. Hayden, what's your...
Hayden, you can wear speedos if you want, mate, but the last time you did this, you know what happened.
Yeah. I mean, we're still dealing with the memes with you with a mullet, mate, so, you know, we can only imagine what that would create.
The stuff of legends, that mullet meme, thanks to... the Orange Boys, mainly Brad Blackmore.
It's one of our locals. It's a t-shirt now, isn't it?
I believe so, and it's a t-shirt that Campbell took across the world to the World Team Championship, so it's internationally famous.
You know, Timmy has that now. So I gave it to former world champion, Timmy, this German crazy man. We love the guy. Massive shout-out to him. But yeah, he wanted it, so I made sure he ended up with it. Top bloke. I mean, yeah, any community.
That's the best thing I've heard all day.
I didn't tell Hades I was going to print it, and then basically printed it and rocked up at W2C in Poland wearing it. Because, hey, why not?
That was good. Good fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think any event, I really enjoy that community kind of atmosphere, and, you know, WTC was just like that on steroids, because you got to meet a whole bunch of guys at top level, you know, internationally, but then they all turn out to be great blokes, and you have a good yarn and have a beer and enjoy some rolling of dice. Yeah, massive surreal experience for me, though, because I basically flew... for, 24 hours to spend 3 days in a hotel that was like, you know, Soviet era, like, block fucking hotel, and then fly back and barely saw daylight.
I don't know how you're still alive, man, after that.
My marriage was, let's just say we didn't need counselling, but, I took a backward step after that one. So, we've talked about, you know, obviously the prize support. There's no, like, My Little Ponies going out. I did come across the idea of, basically throwing out a Care Bear out there. Is that, you know, on the cards? Because there's one that, you know, you could give out to the guy that actually... There's one that has, like, a four-leaf clover on it. You could give it to the guy who rolls the shittest. Is there a reward for that?
Do you remember those things in the 80s? They were like Care Bears, but when you rolled them up, they made a ball.
Fuck, what were they? Yes.
I can't remember what they're called, but I'm sure.
Can one of you guys Google that? Because that's got to be the funniest shit, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's one of them that turns into a soccer ball. So, yeah, you could get one of them for Guild Ball. It comes a little fuzzy soccer ball thing.
Okay, yeah, so this is a massive shout-out to the community. If you can find us one of these in whatever condition, in fact, the worst condition, the better, and that can be the prize or some form of prize. Once again, send it to Hados or Ben Yeomans. I forgot about those. Wasn't there one that was like a full-blown caterpillar or something like that? Some kind of weird...
Can't remember. They're like not furballs or something. Something stupid. Some 80s crap. But they were really big in the 80s. So I'm sure there's a soccer ball one of them. So that'd be perfect for Guild Ball.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm just having a mild flashback. It's only been like, you know, that many years. So.
Before you know it, you'll be wearing tube socks and a side pony and...
I miss the 80s. I really do.
Look, the prizes for Battle in the Bush are always been pretty good. They're one of the selling cards from a 40K perspective.
Yep.
So we're going to try and make sure they are from Guildpool one as well. I know Hayden's like, we have handed over everything to Hayden to run, and I know he's got some pretty cool shit lined up. And we'll also, you know, we'll do everything we can in our power to make sure the prize pool is pretty awesome. It's definitely going to be worthwhile your trek.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, once again, you know, going back to that idea that, you know, taking away anything from a tournament and then having that memory of it's, you know, pretty cool. And it helps to kind of support the event and that people then want to go back to those things. So, Hados, have you hit up, like, Jesse Heiss for, you know, prize support?
Not as yet. So I've got, as Ben was saying, we've got a few ideas about what to do with prize support, but nothing locked in just yet. But yeah, we do want to make it a little bit different than usual. Not that the, you know, the standard stuff is still awesome to get, but we do want to sort of make Battle of the Bush a unique event on the calendar. So.
Oh, okay, so you're going to spray paint a car door and let Ben burn out and hand it to the winner.
Yeah, pretty much. Just it's kind of like the you know, the ashes for cricket, but it's it's just an AU Falcon burnt.
Brilliant. You know what? If you can actually spray paint a car door or car part that's like bigger than me, I'll be there. I'll tell you what, I'll book the flight.
You're gonna try and get it on the plane on the way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What's that? What's that? I just need to check it in. I can't get it through the scanner. No, that's fine. That's fine. It's just a car door.
Yeah, it's just carry on. Just carry on. Sit with it on your lap on the way home.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Good memories. Seriously. I think if you can do that, I'm there, Hados. Because there's so many events I can't get to this year. So.
And there's so many events that don't have a burned-out car door as prize support.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could name a few of them. I don't know. Have you ever, like, I'm a massive sports fan, and so I watch pretty much anything and everything, and there's only certain, like, activities that I don't define as sport. But the Stanley Cup, I love something about a trophy that's bigger than the person holding it, that they've got to basically hold up above their head.
That's... Or alternatively, the Ashes, which is a huge, big sporting event, and it's a pissant little cup about 2 inches tall.
Yeah. Yeah, the crystal one that they get, like, as like that they get to keep is bigger than that. It's like at least 3 times bigger.
The actual Ashes themselves is it's a real letdown.
Yeah, it is. It's slightly disappointing. Although, you know, it'd be nice if we actually, you know, win it this year. So
we had a team event for 40K called Double the Fist. It was a team's event, so duo event, and we made a hammer. We made a big ass hammer with an axe handle and sculpted two fists coming out either side of it, like a double handed hammer.
Oh, brilliant!
When you win the event, you don't get to keep the hammer, but you know it's there and it's cool. And you swing it around for a bit.
Okay, so you didn't burn it and then put it on a tiny little urn.
Yeah, I see what's missing now. we need to burn it and put it on a tiny little urn.
So. Do you have any, like, closing thoughts, Ben? Like, any, you know, you've got the forum here. You can basically say anything to the world. What would you actually say to, you know, could be the gaming community, could be the politicians. We've got an election coming up. I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, be kind to each other. Just no. Look, it's really cool. Thanks for inviting me on. I feel like a little bit of a wolf in sheep's clothing being... I did buy a Guild Ball team for a while there. Hados convinced me, and I played about 3 games before selling them on. it just didn't have enough goblins dying in droves for me. But it's really awesome to see the Guild Ball community get behind each other like it has. Hados has done some amazing things here based in Orange, and it looks like you've got a really tight-knit community, not just the heads of the community, but everyone gets behind it, goes to each other's events. For one of the smaller sort of games, you used to go to a conventions and, you know, Warhammer or 40K, that's be it, maybe a little War Machine thing. But it's awesome to see a smaller community really get together, really get involved and run these events. Hayden's done an amazing job from my perspective. I've never really seen anything like it where someone's just taken pretty much nothing in his local area, built it up to where we're getting people coming from all around the country to little old Orange. So I think you guys have got an awesome community. It's an awesome game. The minis are fantastic. And I'm just really stoked to see it grow, particularly in our local area and New South Wales and hopefully South Australia for you.
Yeah, hopefully South Australia. We're still working on that one.
Yeah, so it is hard with Australia. Australia takes so long to get to anywhere, but if we can all just keep doing that, just remember to go to events, guys. Just keeps the community alive.
Absolutely.
Well done to you all the guys that are running. It's really good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not without the people that want to put up their hand and just run an event. You don't have to be a pundit or whatever you know they call it in your own gaming system. You just have to be someone that enjoys it. And, you know, we find in Adelaide, we don't, like, I'm not a pundit, but it's not that hard to run an event. You know, we ran a rookie league recently and you just, you know, set up the matches. It's about the fun, getting prize support from people like Jesse Heiss at freecitygames.com because he likes throwing shit out at us and I like just mentioning his website on our podcast. It's not that hard to coordinate this kind of shit, and anyone who's got a little bit of passion for a game and just wants to see it grow can actually, you know, enable that. So,
well, there's a lot of help out there for him. Like, one thing Hayden's done really well is we did have a little bit of experience in running bigger events that we've just learnt through, you know, fucking up over the years and what works and what doesn't. And Hayden came to us and just was saying, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, can you help me? I want to run an event and I want to buy a bunch of terrain for it. Can we raise some funds? Just get out there and get into your community and talk to, yeah, you know, 40K players aren't all evil. Come and talk to us. We'll help you out. Any of the tabletop guys, there's a lot of knowledge and experience out there and a lot of people to help you out. So get on board, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hados, any final words, not of your life, just of the podcast?
Hey, I just wanted to touch on that, get involved mantra. So that's pretty much sort of the key thing we're going for this episode of, you know, anyone that feels like they might be struggling to build a community. It's really just being that constant presence, even if you feel you might be annoying. It's just that, you know, you turn up each week to your game store, your game club, you know, you'll get known as the Guild Ball guy and people will know who to go to when they finally do decide to have a crack. And the other thing is it's get involved with the other game systems, even if it's just chatting about how the game works. You may not necessarily jump into it, but it's a bit like networking in your professional career. That's what it feels like to me, is you're networking with other gamers, you're finding out what they like, and then you get onto common ground for them to try Guild Ball or for you to try their game. And I never thought I'd see this anywhere. Orange is quite unique with this melting pot of a community. And I never thought I'd see it anywhere else, because you sort of go to places like Sydney and it's more the geography of Sydney that it's like that. And to a lesser extent, Canberra, where, you know, different game stores sort of have different little cells of players and they only play their game. And it wasn't until I was over in Norway in a place called Bergen and I connected with a Guild Ball player at WTC and I went to his weekly meet and it basically felt like home, because we went to this school hall and there was people playing, 40K, AOS, Bolt Action, Guild Ball, all in this little hall. And that's exactly what I see a gaming community to be. It's just everyone mixing together, having some fun. So just get involved, get amongst it.
That's right. Hang around like a bad smell. That's basically what I got from that.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Shower, please. Like, don't shower.
So Ben, you've been to CanCon, obviously. My God. Like, there's,
it takes a special kind of stamina to get through events like that.
Like, there's an atmosphere, and I can actually see, like, the change in the colour of the air as you walk in. it's tonally gross. Slightly different. I don't know what it is. And this year was so hot. I know we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but so Hados, me, Ella, and Dave hired a place. The fucking air conditioning wasn't working that week.
No.
And it was what? Was it 40?
That first day was like hot. 42 degrees Celsius. So it was hot.
It was shocking, yeah. So I'm pretty sure I added to that, you know, at least a little bit. So
there's a particular breed of gamer that adds to it more than others, so
facts.
We've all been there. We all know.
Yeah. We love you, but just have a shower next time, guys.
Yeah. Soak deodorant.
Come yeah. So thank you very, very much to both of you for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can get more people out. What's the date of the event again? It's
31st of August. I just want to make sure that I just wanted to double check. Yeah, 31st of August. So it starts on Saturday, ends on Sunday. Got to make it.
It's get to Orange. Stand in the like the middle of Orange. There's only one set of traffic lights. Put your hand up and say, "I'm looking for Hayden Sheehan," and someone will point you in the right direction.
At least one of his cousins or something. We're all related.
Something like that. Yeah.
Go.
On a serious note, any questions you have about the event, yeah, feel free to message myself or Ben. You know, we'll get an answer for you. We want to see this explode.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see this become like a full-blown con in a paddock somewhere because you don't have any buildings big enough. I think that should be the end goal. No, I'm serious. I wanted to have a farm con. I wanted to have one here when they released the Farmers Guild. Because I just thought it would be awesome to be basically sitting in a field with, like, you know, trestle tables and that, playing, like, Guild Ball. I just thought that would be the coolest thing.
I did see a 40K event once that was on the beach. That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
But we do have some good wineries around town, so we might have to hit them up, see if we can battle amongst the vines.
Ooh. I like it. Nice. Well, I think, yeah, definitely get onto that. I think alcohol tends to draw the masses.
But seriously, we do have function centres. It's fine.
No, come to our I do apologise. I'm taking the piss. But, you know, Adelaide's only marginally bigger than Orange. So it's fine.
Yeah, you're not that much bigger. We're not hugely tiny.
No, fair.
Hayden does have at least three people in the town he's not related to. So.
Oh, my God. What happened there?
I honestly don't know. It's a surprise to me.
Diversifying the gene pool.
We should do it eventually, I guess. No, thanks for having us on, Campbell. It's been good.
Yeah, thank you. Pleasure. Very much, mate.
Pleasure. Appreciate nice it. To nice to meet you, Ben, and Haydos. Yeah, it was okay. Welcome back. That was a great little chat. Thanks to Haydos, you're a champion, and also Ben. That was really good of them to come on and just have a good chat and, you know, just interesting conversation about cross, you know, pollination and I guess what it is to build a good community and what are the things that it takes, including just having fun, essentially. So good job, guys. I did want to do a few shout-outs. Naturally, our Patreon, patreon.com/doubledodge. If you feel like supporting us, that'd be fantastic. We have a few different pledge levels, and you can basically support for $1, $5, or $10 a month. And it's really helpful. You know, it helps pay for the website hosting and things like that. And for us to basically, you know, print and do things like dice and other merchandise that we can give to different events, you know, in prize support. Speaking of prize support, one Jesse Heiss from freecitygames.com. Jump on his website, go buy some shit off him. He's a legend, looks after the Australian community. It helps fund his cocaine addiction, so jump on there. He has given us the promo code of DoubleDodge10. If you chuck that in, you get 10% off. So say hi to him. I would like to do a quick shout out to one Beard Mini Rich. What a legend. Got married. And why wouldn't you marry that? It has to be the sexiest beard in Guild Ball. So someone's finally, like, you know, locked you down. I know we were trying to get you over here and make you an Australian. So hopefully we can still do that and get that glorious beard over here. Probably the last thing is just all the events we got coming up. Obviously, with the fact that this was a community-based event. Community-based podcast. I kind of want to just run through all the Australian events. We have the ATC, which is the 25th and 26th of May. I think we're going to end up calling it the OTC for Oceania, because I know the Kiwis are all coming over and probably to smash the shit out of a few of us. So OTC, 25th, 26th of May in Sydney. Then we have the Oz Nationals, August 10th and 11th. That's also in Sydney. Then in August 31st to the 1st of September. Battle in the Bush is what we talked about just before. And that'd be great. That's in Orange. You guys can, there are direct flights from a few of the capital cities over in the eastern states. So get on down, support Haydos. And the last one I reckon I've got is HammerCon. Now that's further on, that's in Wagga. And that's September 28th and 29th, I believe. So all of these, you can jump on Gilball Australia's Facebook page. Aaron Hartwell, shout out to him. He's great at, you know, getting them all organised. And so he's posted a lot of the dates, including a few different play dates of, sounds like kids playing, doesn't it? A few dates when they're basically, you know, having play sessions in Sydney. So I recommend anyone who has events coming up or even dates that they are planning on getting everyone in and just having a few, you know, throw up games, just jump on there, have a look at dates and throw your dates on there as well, just so everyone's aware. I think this is one of the core parts of building a community, is actually making people aware of what's going on. And so, you know, being visible, posting it on the, you know, whatever your relevant Facebook page is, and making sure that everyone knows where the hell they need to go, because obviously if they don't, how the fuck are they meant to rock up? So thanks again, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Yep.